that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Coming to you live from it's a little crisp radio ranch this morning, this September 5th, Saturday morning. 45 degrees, beautiful sunrise, but we welcome you here this morning. We'll bring the men on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And again, we say good morning to you, the Remnant, and we thank you for joining us. And, summer's on its way out. It is winding down. We've got the 91st day coming up, middle of September, the 16th. That's Wednesday. And that's what that is. That's that Sabbath between the seasons that God gives us, that He's put in place, from the beginning. And that's how I remember them, and that's how I see that they are. They're a Sabbath between the seasons, as I said. And so we'll be stepping out of summer, stepping into fall, and we've already getting a little taste of it these mornings. Been cool. It's coming. We've got some fall weather coming. Well, Remnant, you know how the program works. We'll have the phone lines open up in just a little bit, but we're going to start out with a word of prayer. We encourage you to do that, to start your day, to start anything that you do with a word of prayer. And we're going to do that. And Jason, we'll ask if you would open us up, sir.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us. And Father, we just come before you and we pray on that full armor of God and ask for it to be extended down upon us and our families. And Father, we claim all the promises of Psalms 91, Father, that you've given us the availability to, and we thank you for that. And we ask, Father, that you just seal us off from the demonic forces of hell, the spiritual forces of wickedness, and that you just allow us to cut a wide swath and do what we're supposed to do. We pray that you just lead us, guide us, and direct us, that you shine your face down upon us, and that you allow us to be a light into a dark world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 And amen. And I like how you prayed that, Jason, that we are to be a light in the dark world. And boy, the world has some darkness in it today. It really does. But I guess it always has. It just sometimes maybe it bubbles to the top or gets, you know, the media play, you might say.
Amen.
And so we do have to remember that we are that light on the hill, and that we've been given that light of Christ, not to hide it under, how's the Bible put it? Don't hide it under a bushel basket, you know, but let your light shine. And that has been happening as well, because when the light shines on the darkness, the deeds of darkness are exposed, and the things that were done in the dark are brought to light. It is just like walking in a room at night, and you know you don't want to walk across the living room because the children have some Legos out, and the dog might be there, and so you turn the light on so that you can see. So the things that are there are exposed. So you don't step on the Legos, and you don't kick the dog and things like that. And Tim, your children are up and grown a little bit older. I've still got a couple that have a carpet full of Legos here, and they love playing with those things. But that's what that light does, and it is that light of Christianity. It exposes the darkness, and we have seen things being exposed over the last several years that. That were kept secret before, and that is a good thing, and that is a result, I believe, of prayer, of people faithing it, and continuing to pray to God for, just like we pray the pistol prayer, for the sorcery to cease, for the bales to be bound and broken. And that is what's happening, you know. Now, you know, in this world of we need everything just today, and right now. You want to know the weather forecast? Hit your phone. You want to know what the weather's like anywhere? Hit it. News, you get it just instantaneously. But see, that's man's timing. That's not God's timing. And God, as it says, He's not slow, as we consider slowness, but He's patient. But these things, you know, the things, whether it's what the government's been doing, whether it's what these pedophiles have been doing, whether it's what the enemy, the Chinese, have been doing, you know, they're being exposed. And I think a lot of the turmoil that we see in the land today is because of that. Because the enemy, I don't think they realize, they know they're being exposed. I don't think they realize, you know, why and how. But they're in, you know, they're in full mode. I don't know the word to use. It's not coming to me. But you know, trying to do everything that they can, damage control, I guess, would be the term, because they are being exposed, and these things are coming. You know, the things that we've talked about, the things that that again, whether it's China or Hollywood, or what, you know, presidents and vice presidents have done over the last 30 years in dealing with China and the Ukraine and things like that, they're coming to light. And so even in this, you know, the riots and lawlessness and murder that we're seeing, killings, there is a good side to it. I don't mean to ramble. Tim, thoughts?
Sorry, you got to push the right button here. Yeah, I think it's significant that they used and I'm not finding the quote after at the moment. It's not coming to mind, but they used the word woke. I love this word woke. You know, and whether it's especially as regards BLM and especially as regards these corporations out here that are just changing everything, you know, to become more politically correct or more palatable to this 2% of the population that's out there just literally attempting to raise hell. And they don't want to raise the kingdom. They want to raise hell. That's what they're trying to do. They're out there, creating this hellish circumstance with fire and destruction all about. They use the word woke to indicate that they are aware of it now and that they need to do these things. And the Bible says that, they're not asleep to the power of their destruction any longer. And they, you know, is it not significant that they're basically using the same biblical words, because the opposite of asleep is woke. And I think we're seeing a lot of the other fact of the matter is we call them Democrats or BLM or anything. They're basically lemmings because they can't wait to throw themselves under a bus or a truck or a car to simply destroy themselves and destroy everything about them. You know, I mean, this is all going on constantly and consistently. And I didn't listen to it because I just didn't think I could go for it, but I was watching a short clip there with Cortez on there, and she had a bunch of women in there. And I think it's an older clip, but there was several gals supposedly there in the group that were talking about save the planet and eat the children.
Oh, I saw that.
And it's like, yeah, it's like, what kind of sickness? What kind of, I mean, it's just, this cannot be. If that doesn't just, disgust you to your core and, righteously leave you indignant, I don't know what should. And I'm always reminded of my father-in-law. Some people say, well, what can we do? What can we do? And, you know, our responses to a lot of those things is pray. And his response was, all I want to know is where's the outcry? And if we cry out to God, he listens. And that's what God wants to do. He wants something done about it. Cry out. That's the outcry. And, there are those of us who are motivated at a higher level who will stand and who will take those things there. But that support, that biblical scriptural prayer support makes a huge difference. And is necessary. It empowers those.
Absolutely. Absolutely it does, Tim. That's when God, I think, you know, when his people cry out, he hears, like you said, absolutely. That's when he, in his Holy Spirit, moves and raises up a Gideon or a Saul when it was, you know, to prevent your getting your right eye plucked out, or a Phinehas or whatever it is. But it, And I've had this conversation before. It, you know, for it to be, it has to be the moving of the Holy Spirit that has to be that call, you might say. And the Holy Spirit's not new. The Holy Spirit's been around since before in the beginning. I remember Pastor talked about that one time. Was, you know, Moses had he was in charge of 1 million Israelites in Egypt. And in one day, they knew about the Passover. They knew what to do. They heard the instructions. And, you know, they didn't have Snapchat, but they heard the instructions. And I think that's what it was. I think that was the Holy Spirit moving in them and letting them know, this is what you do. Maybe we or enough or something, I don't know how that's got to work. But when his people cry out to him, his word says it, he hears and he heals. And he we're in need of healing. This mess that's in the land, but even there again, it's being brought up. It's being brought out and brought up into people's attention, you know, for them to choose. You know, been down printing a newsletter and down with Jason and getting the newsletter printed, and I didn't get to watch any, and we don't have TV. I didn't watch any of the Republic National Convention, but kind of a captive audience when I'm there in the upstairs at the print shop. So I've brought some of the speeches up just to listen to them as I'm over there working. And a big thing that I've heard on it is you have a choice. You know, you either choose this candidate who stands for this or that candidate who stands for that. And, you know, the people are having a choice. And I don't really mean just in the political arena, but because of these things coming up, you know, the lawlessness in the land, this. Yeah, I saw that video clip, Tim, of that woman, and she stands up and she's got it on her shirt. Save the planet, eat the babies. Save the planet, eat the babies.
Yes.
And then that's what she's telling. Oh, we only have a month left to live, and we must do this now. And it's demonic, absolute demonic is what it was. But the in-your-face type stuff, maybe the people will start making, you know, will start waking up to it.
Amen.
Amen.
We had, I know that, you know, there's a whole bunch of things going on. Go ahead, Jason.
No, I was just going to change the subject for a minute, but go ahead, Tim.
Well, there's a lot of interest in the fact that, and a lot of things going on when you think about it. It goes back to David and those guys that, in the Old Testament when they were coming in, and the reason that Canaan was so bad was because of all, and those things were going on was all of the wickedness and the evil. These things aren't new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. This has been with us, you know, this has been with us all along. It was with us in the 30s. It was with us in the 50s. It was an underground thing. It wasn't in the closet, a back door thing. It went on, but, you know, there were enough good people there to keep it, stamped out, to keep it. It was a germ, not a, you know, and this whole, say what you want, feel what you want, everything else has done that. And, you know, it goes back to education and food and, the churches and, dual wage earner society and the corporate mentality that goes along. It's destroyed the underpinning of what matters of many places. Not all of our nation, but a great deal of it is suffering from this illness. And, you know, it's going to go away. That was all I was going to say.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to bring up, so this week I watched a movie, it's called Tread, and it was basically on a documentary on Marvin Hamyer from Granby, Colorado. And I don't know if any of you guys have seen that or not.
No. No, what's it called? Tread?
Yeah, it's called Tread. And basically it was on Killdozer, so... And back in June 4, 2004, which, yeah, I date you, it's like, you know, I can remember that day like it was yesterday. I remember driving down the road hearing it come over the radio that, I mean, it wasn't far from us. And there was a guy in it that had armored a bulldozer and went to town and was destroying everybody in city council that wouldn't let him hook up a sewer line. And... you know, the guy actually, I mean, he was a hero in a lot of ways. And I'll tell you what, you watch the documentary and there's a lot of truth in there. There's a lot of BS in there too. You know, that, I mean, that's the way Hollywood is and everything. And of course, you know, I mean, you know, he's dead and the people that are up there that are left behind in city council are alive. So of course, you know, who are they going to make out to be the righteous ones? And, you know, these are, you know, wealthy people with businesses up there. So, you know, you can imagine the direction that it goes. But, I mean, the guy, you know, they have a lot of the tapes. And the guy, I mean, he said that he sat there and, you know, he said, you know, his God gave him a plan. And, you know, sitting there in a hot tub trying to decide what to do with his life. And, And I think he did. And, you know, it was, he changed a lot of things. And I think that, I think he was one of those patriots that stood up for what he believed in. And, I mean, he paid the price, but at the same time, I'd bet my boots and throw in my spurs that that city council, they think next, they think twice about messing with somebody again. And that's the way that it should be. He was a welder by trade, had a muffler shop, basically tried to get his sewer system hooked up, and right there in the middle of town, and they wanted him to go a mile this way and then around the corner and around the block and then come back in and to hook it up, and cost more money to get his utilities hooked up to a building that he had owned than the property was even worth. And then they tried to, it was just one thing after another that they put him through. And, I mean, he had all he could stand, and he could stand no more. I mean, he got fed up, and he had it. And he took a Komatsu bulldozer and armored it and poured concrete in it. And, I mean, the way that this guy thought it out, I mean, the guy was, he was a couple steps ahead of the majority of the people. You could tell that this guy, I mean, he really had some, ingenuity behind him. You look at the guy, you can tell he was a German, and he had that German ingenuity, thinking mind, and he basically destroyed the bash plat. I don't know. I think there's so many numbers out there. I don't even know how much damage he inflicted, but I mean, there's numbers that were $4 million, and then there's dollar signs that are $7 million, and all the way up to $20 million on damage on what he did that day. And I don't know what the correct number is, but he made national news, I tell you what, it's, in my opinion, he was a good man. I mean, he tried to have peace. They made it out in the documentary that, we tried to appease him, and he just kept changing his mind and this and that. And no, that really wasn't the case if you look into the story. He tried to make peace with them, and they would not make peace with him. They just thought he was a peon, and they were going to do whatever they were going to do. And you can watch the documentary, and there's a lot of people from city council and stuff that were interviewed in that movie, and you can look into their eyes, and you can tell they're still ashamed and embarrassed about what happened. I don't know. I think it's a worthwhile watch. And it's just hard to believe for me that was 16 years ago. I mean, that was a lot longer than I really thought it was. But it's worth a watch, and would encourage people to watch it, because you can see what would happen, and this is what one man did. And
Tim, if you'll hold, we got a caller. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller's been holding. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard. This is Joe.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, man. Hey, a couple of days ago or a week ago, I saw a video documentary on YouTube about this video game. Now, Tim mentioned something about killing babies, I think. His voice was muffled. It's a lot better now, but I don't know if you were talking about the same thing that I was going to mention. The video game is called Corona World. Is that what you were talking about?
No. We were talking about a press conference that AOC, the Cortez lady, had. And there was a lady there and had put on her shirts, "Save the planet, eat the babies." And that's what she was saying.
Man.
We must eat the babies.
Well, this video game is called Corona World, and I can't find it online. They're searching for it. It's buried someplace. They must have put some sort of a block on it or something. But it has in it, and I don't play video games, but I saw a rendering of it, and it was kind of like in the old days they had Mario with that little guy with the mustache,
right,
going along, and he was hitting things and bouncing around and everything. Even back then, I'd never got into video games. It just didn't interest me. But here's this little girl, and she's running around like Mario looking for a mask. It's a cartoon. It's just like Mario, I think. And there's little babies that she comes across, and she stomps on them because you can get coronavirus from the little babies, ostensibly. And the little babies have masks on, and she's going up and down and smashing the little babies to, you know, pancake size.
Wow. Wow. That is...
I thought I'd just mention that. It's funny, too, because now you can't find it online unless you spend probably half an hour searching.
Wow.
So, okay, guys, we'll let you get back to it.
Thanks all right, Joe. Thank you, Joe.
God bless you all.
All right. All right, Tim. Back to you, sir.
Well, in light of what Jason was saying, I think it's some more of that mania that we see, and that started, like you said, way back several years ago, Jason. But just like Biden, that interview of him with the steel workers or the auto workers, where he screamed out to that guy in the midst of all his rambling rant, you know, well, I don't work for you. You know, I don't work for you. And the truth of the matter is these people have all found a lot of those people that are up there, they're your overlords. And the truth of the matter is, no, they work for you. They're supposed to represent you. I mean, that's biblical, but they have extorted and distorted that situation there just like that. No, you can't hook your sewer up. You've got a building that was downtown and everything, but, yeah, you got to run a racetrack around there to try to hook it up, and it's going to cost you, thousands and thousands of dollars and, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they did a lot of other things too, because they, if I recollect, didn't they deny his business license because they couldn't get in there? They basically were attempting to destroy that man in every way that they could, just because he actually was saying, I'm going to get this figured out. We're going to figure it out one way or the other. And it's, I remember it was definitely a shock and awe. And that's just another one of those, situations when we look back on that. I think that, we've had a lot of those down through the years. I mean, for every one that we know of, there's probably several that we don't, of people who have stood and done things and put their, kind of like the old, forefathers saying back in the 1700s, they put their fortunes and their lives and their honor on the line to try to make a difference, and, we don't, they've made sure to keep those away from us. We can't have any heroes for our youth, and it's important to remember these people. So I really agree with what you're saying there, and I think you're right. I mean, I think we're seeing the results of that, and you can't build, you can't do this, you can't do that without their permission. And if you have to ask permission, why, there's always the, they can say no. And it's like, so who does it really belong to? Yeah, it's one of those. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. Amen. And it went way beyond just a zoning. Just a zoning. We don't want that type of building here or there. But, that clip of what Biden, had said it to that I don't work for you. Well, who do you work for? Who do you work for? And so, see, the truth is out there if the people want to see it. The enemy tells us the truth. Biden told that man he was absolutely truthful with him. I don't work for you. You don't tell me what to do. I don't care about you. You know? And there it is. There it is. But you know, by their fruits, by their words, you shall know them. Whether the people want to hear it and believe it or not, that's up to them. Well, Remnant, again, good morning. September 5th, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. We do have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And praise God, got a text from my brother David out in Texas, and I'd seen a blurb of this, hadn't had a chance. Like I said, we've been down printing the newsletter, been pretty busy with that. Mayor of Ashland, Ohio, dedicates his city to Jesus Christ. How about that? This was a quote from the mayor of Ashland, Ohio. May this be a land where he, meaning Christ, rules supreme. How about that? And so that's I'd call that a little bright light and I have seen a few things of not really Jesus rallies, but especially in some of these Democrat-controlled, riot-filled cities, that people have been coming together, Christians have been coming together and praying, cleaning up, and share Christ. Of course, that doesn't get the play that the masked rioters throwing bricks and burning buildings. It doesn't get the same play as that. But like you said, Tim, there are things going on behind the scenes that we don't see. You know, when I was watching that. I was watching those replays of the Republican National Convention, and I guess they opened the whole thing up with a prayer, and of course it was some woman praying. You know they're going to have that. But used several scriptures in the prayer, and closed the prayer and prayed in Jesus' name. And I was encouraged by that. Again, not the end-all, fix-all, but better. It was better. In the past, we haven't seen that. We haven't heard that. But when we do see that, that's better. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I don't know if anybody said anything about it here just recently, but I thought it was worth noting that, the CDC came out and revised the death numbers for the coronavirus.
Yes.
I mean, did you see that, Jason, too? I mean,
yeah, I did. Yep.
Yeah. They went from like whatever the number was, 160,000 dead or something in the United States, and they revised it down. The original number I seen was like 9,500. Of course, they kind of run it up to like 10,000. But
that's what I saw. It was like 5-10% of what they were saying.
That's just wild. I mean, that's public school math at its finest, folks.
And the people, you would think that there'd be outrage. What? You closed my business down? You've closed our state down? You've had all this and for 5% of the actual numbers that you're saying? But they aren't. They aren't. The signs are still in the stores. Mask required. The schools, our university opened up, as most of them have, and they opened up and, they let like 1,500 freshmen come in for, in-person classes, and of course they're testing them all like twice a week, and then this past week before, it was Monday's Labor Day, it's a holiday, but this past week was supposed to be the week that all the rest of the students came back, and they've delayed that maybe for a week or two, they say, indefinitely. They contacted them all and said, nope, don't come. Because, of course, 1,500 new students in, and they test them twice a week. You think they're going to have more numbers? And they do. So they're still putting that off as well. I think
one of the other things that one of the guys was telling me was that they, here anyways, or and several of the different ones, he's got some daughters in school, and he said, or in college, and he said they're going to run it just long enough that they don't have to refund their housing, like room and board allowance or whatever. They have to pay that, I guess, at first. I don't really understand. I don't know how it all works. But anyways, and he said if it goes a certain amount of time, then they don't have to refund it. And they're talking about closing it down just past the refund date.
Of course.
So.
Of course.
Yeah. So.
All the while, like ours is a state university, all the while they're still begging the governor, you know, for more money, more money, more money. And it's like that at CSU too, isn't it, Jason? I mean, they're building like crazy, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that that I saw this week too is, you know, there's this what's this guy's name? Charles Wade, BLM co-founder. You know, it was kind of interesting. So this guy, he's been hitting the media quite a bit lately. And one of the things that's come out is that he was a pimp. And I mean, he's a big old buck nig was, you know, arrested on, actually, you know, it first came out that he was arrested one time, but it was multiple times on sex trafficking. Picked up in a hotel, pimping 17-year-olds, you know, reportedly the court documents say that, oh, well, you're close enough to 18, I'm not going to worry about it. And, I mean, one thing after another, pimping girls to, he ended up getting busted because he was pimping them out of a hotel and ended up selling one of them to a undercover agent. And, you know, I mean, that's the kind of people that that are, you know, in this BLM stuff. And, you know, it just really shows you, I mean, you know, foundation. I mean, this is a co-founder of that organization. And, you know, it really shows you, you know, what that whole thing is.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to look. I was trying to look. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to look, but out in California, these filthy faggot queers that are going to burn in hell if they don't repent. Democrats sent Scott Wiener and all this mess. They sent a bill to the desk of the Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom, which would reduce penalties for these filthy faggot perverts to molest children. It would allow them to... It says reduces penalties for pedophilia with willing kids. It's filth. It's State Bill 145, passed the Senate Monday, and it went to Governor Newsom's desk. So I have not seen...
that is basically, I checked everything and they said that was just complete, that was, something that was posted on social media and, posted, but it wasn't actually true from everywhere that I could find.
Well, I got a USA Today article on it right here.
Well, they updated it too and they did a fact check and they said that it was wrong information, that that's not actually what the bill said. So, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, have you seen all of the recoveries they're doing of these trafficked kids lately? I mean, I've been getting a lot of flags in on that, you know, and they're talking about all this kind of stuff. And one of the guys brought out the fact that all this has started since Epstein's girlfriend. I don't know what she was, whatever she was. Epstein scumbag ended up in custody, and they're wondering if there's something going on with that. But as far as her giving them sources or giving them stuff to go pick them up, the other interesting thing is that most of these arrests are happening at kind of an unusual level of the government is doing it. Like the U.S. Marshals are making the arrests and stuff like that. It's not local or state police. It's not even the FBI is very much involved. It's different groups of doing the arrests that are, you know, things that we don't normally hear about in the news or out there making those kind of sweeps. And I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying we don't hear about it very often. But you know, how can you go in and pick up 40 or 50 kids in a double-wide trailer house in Georgia, and that doesn't even make the national news, you know. And I guess If I understood the numbers, the amount of children that they found here lately are in the thousands that have been kidnapped and everything that they're releasing. I mean, it's a huge, huge deal. It's not like a pocket here, a pocket there. So something's going on, and I'm just saying, praise the Lord that they're finding these and getting them released, and surely they're catching some of the perpetrators too. And I hope it leads on up the chain to the scum that's doing this, you know. And it's kind of an interesting thing, but you've got to dig to find anything on it. I mean, it's not a simple, you know. Sure, don't look at. You're not going to look at the mainstream media and get anything off of it. So it's kind of an interesting read.
Yeah, they're not covering that at all. They're not. Not at all. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you have a question or a comment, and, well, we have got a change in the weather. As I said at the beginning, fall. Boy, it just feels like fall out there, about 45 degrees here this morning, and we're looking at a high of 91, and then Tuesday, a high of 30. Out here in a low of 12, looks like some snow blasting through real quick just for a day, I think. So, and then back in the 70s within a couple days after that. So some kind of wild weather. But it seems like we have been getting, you know, maybe it's becoming a new pattern, this kind of blast here in right before the beginning of fall, of a like an Arctic blast blasting down. We did have a, you know, in what, second weekend of June, had a blizzard that rolled through.
Yep.
And not just here up in the mountains, but there in Fort Collins in Colorado, I know, because I drove back through it, and it was one of the worst ones that I've ever driven through. And you just don't expect that in the middle of June. And you don't expect snow at the beginning of September, but here it is. We're seeing it. It's been that kind of year. We had two hurricanes, Laura and Marco, at the same time in the Gulf of Mexico just, 10 days ago? And it never happened before. And, of course, you can't say fire in California without saying record-setting fire, because every year it's... the fires are bigger and hotter and quicker and burn more. And they continue to set records. They continue to get worse and worse and worse. And I think it is all tied together, that God's saying, hello, I'm knocking on the door. I'm trying to get your attention. Whether the people wake up or not, I guess, is up to them, whether they decide to see all this for what it is.
You work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. These things are, you know, these things are for us. If the people would realize that, you know, these things that happen, you know, the Word, I mean, it tells us He works all things for good for those that love Him. You know, I mean, things happen. Bad things happen to good people. You know, I've seen that book. And it's you know, we live in a fallen, sinful world, and we are to turn away from that fallen, sinful world and the sin that's in it. And it's just not, I mean, that's just a foreign concept these days. Among most people. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you?
Great, great. We were talking about the organization of this and who's behind all this Black Lives Matter business and everything, and I think the total picture of so-called peaceful protests to rioting, to you name it. I think this is so much bigger than we think it is. And I think as far as the money, the manpower that goes into it, or, you know, are they really men? the scope of the thing is just huge. I mean, I think it's comparable to the Russian Revolution of more than 100 years ago. Just watching this, there was a little neighborhood training, you know, they had to be high school students, young college students, who came through here, probably about 300 of them, and every 14 to 16 or so, you know, I was counting them, of them, there was kind of a leader who'd be in at the front and then run back to see if everything was okay and everything. And this doesn't just spring up. This is part of a huge organization. And you know, the pimps you were talking about and all the blacks, they've got them involved in there, and there's all of this, you know, the obviously they use the bottom of the barrel of humanity, and there's a whole lot of bottom of the barrel these days. And, you know, and even this Black Lives Matter, you know, a lot of them are a bunch of the guys who are doing the rioting and the things are like that are a bunch of white guys. They threw them out of a couple black neighborhoods, you know, about 2 weeks ago. And then, of course, they do get the black criminal element, and they'll bring them in. And then there's this supposed right to protest, which, and I don't know, you know, I think in their confused, uneducated, stupid way, they're kind of referring to something that springs from the First Amendment, you know, right to assemble. But they bring these people in, and they've got to know these peaceful protesters are a cover for the people who are going to do murder and mayhem when they come in right after them. It's sort of like sending in the infantry before, you know, the foot soldiers before the cavalry comes in. And it's got to be a tremendous complicity on the part of all of these officials and everything. And I think the word's out. There's got to be big money and organization behind this. And when they talk about George Soros and people like that, I mean, there's just no way that the scope of this thing would be what it is without massive organization. And this is a revolution. This is rebellion.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you look at the interview. So, you know, I got an article on my desk right now, and it's showing this guy, this Antifa gunman, who was shot dead by the cops. And in an interview right before that he was shot, he said that his killing of a Trump supporter felt like the start of civil war. Michael Frost, the Antifa shooter who was shot and killed by police last night after he pulled a weapon on officers, said in an interview before his death that his murder of Trump supporters in Portland felt like the start of civil war. And you look at this guy, I mean, this is a white guy with blue eyes, blonde hair, with a BLM tattoo on his right side of his neck, you know, the big old black fist, you know. But, I mean, you look at it, too, I mean, yeah, our enemies have done a heck of a job. But, I mean, everything that they've ever known has let them down, too, you know. And, you know, they're trying to be part of something, too. And it's a spell, and there's a whole lot of spiritual warfare that's going on. In this land,
oh, goodness,
and
yes.
It's deceiving, and people are being deceived, and I think that's one of the things is you know, I mean, you know, we've been exposed, and we've understood for a long time that, you know, that there is this false media out there. There's a lot of people that take that hook, line, and sinker, you know, and they believe it all to the bitter end. And there is a lot of really deceived people. I mean, you sit down there and you try talking to some of these people, and it's like, you know, what the heck is going on in your brain? You know, I mean, there's, you know, is there any gray matter in between your ears? Hello? And it's like they're brain dead, but it's indoctrination. And they've been indoctrinated. I mean, you're talking, you know, this guy is 48 years old. This guy has had been pumped full of information since he was a kid, and he don't know jack. And, I mean, that's, That's just the way it is, and that's the way that we are as a society. Now, living in rural areas that, like we live out here, it's you know, it is hard for a lot of people where I live to imagine how people, you know, out in Chicago live. I mean, it's we just can't you know, we can't imagine even, you know, people living in apartment complexes and in the cities and stuff like that, because there's a lot of people that have no comprehension of the way that, you know, the rest of the world is. And
there's no reason.
I agree.
Reasoning has not been allowed for decades. It's just some slowly but surely quenched. And there's just something. There's just some things you don't say. So obviously you can't think about this because there are just some places you don't go in your mind. Questions you don't ask.
Right.
Yeah, you got it.
So where's any kind of right or reasoning or anything else? Yeah, and I can imagine living out there. I can imagine that it would be very difficult to contemplate living here in Plywood City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that it's wrong or anything like that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that it's just. You turn the news on, and it's like a completely different world. And it's like, you know, you get to the point where it's like, yeah, you don't even think people live like that. I mean, and it's like, yeah, actually, they do. I mean, they've got tent cities places, they got this and they got that, and it's, but there is people that just, live, I mean, they believe more stuff, you know, in social media, you know, their Facebook, you know, news feed, it's like, oh, that's where I get my news, and I get the news because it's people that are, you know, out there and they're sharing this stuff with me and everything like that. Well, yeah, but they're also censoring it more than just about anything else. I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, Facebook is a joke because most of the people that I know that are on there have been in Facebook jail, and because they kick them off and they, you know, block their posts for 30 days because they don't like something that they said. So, you know.
Oh, yeah, and there's plenty of, you know, whistleblowers that have come out of Facebook, Google, and everything. They've got tapes and everything else.
Yes.
And, you know, the supposed administration who are supposed to be friends of, you know, friends of the administration like Bill Barr and things like that, they've got all this information. They're not saying a thing about it. You know, they're part of it. This is exactly. You know, it's like the Russian Revolution. I mean, it wasn't people from without that did them in. It was the people from within.
Well, I know you talk about people leaving, you know, and I know we've said ourselves in years gone by, it was like, if you had to live like that, well, what would keep you from just putting on a pair of boots and packing whatever you could carry out and walk the heck out of there, you know? I'm gone. But
I've contemplated that same thing. It's like, you know, what causes somebody, how can somebody, you know, my question is how can somebody that can go to, you know, being a conservative Christian all of a sudden get on board with Black Lives Matter?
Yes.
and actually support, you know, which is, you know, I mean, yeah, I think it's a terrorist organization.
Absolutely.
Our president thinks that too. So, I mean, how can somebody go from one side to the other and look anything into that, you know, without there being some kind of, you know, sorcery spell casting ability that our enemies have? Or is it that, you know, God allows them to be deluded by a deluding influence? I don't know.
Or
don't know
just force.
But I know that it's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
Just force.
Right.
You know, you apply enough force.
Yeah.
And you know, look what happened to that guy over there who questioned this, you know.
Yeah.
Do I want to be there?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, and good point. And it's like, you know, where people are talking about him. I mean, you know, is all the media, I mean, both sides, is all they're putting out is, you know, he was a Trump supporter, but I mean, geez, he was, I mean, I don't know anything about him. I mean, he could have been a father, he could have been a husband, could have been a, I mean, he was obviously a son. You know, we don't know anything about him, and he's labeled as a Trump supporter. But, I mean, geez, he gave his life to, you know, one of these antichrists that were fighting for their cause, and, you know, he was murdered. And he was a murder victim.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, Bill, thanks, brother. We're out of time this morning. Thanks for the call.
Morning. Bye.
God bless. Well, guys, we are. Thanks for, man, interesting comments this morning. Hopefully it gets some of the remnant and some of their friends and family, gives them some pointers to get people thinking, you know, like the pastor used to say, and you've mentioned it before, Jason, just go have a think, okay? It's not too early in the morning. It's almost 8 o'clock Mountain time, and it's really not too early to have a think. So just go have a think. How about that? So, and while you're at it, we invite you to join us at church tomorrow, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and we invite you to church. I think we've got a young man going to school, going to come down and visit. He's been there before, one of our members, and so, you know, if you're going to be there in person, we sure appreciate you letting us know. That way we can have a good welcome for you and make sure the coffee's on, but we'll be at the stream at scriptures4america.org, the live video stream, and so we encourage you to join us. Take time out of this hectic world and join us at church. So, well, guys, thanks again, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The man of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation and let them seek your name.